You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Bother him at all. Don't bother him at all. Whenever Jack's mother lived beside us, and there was all hell going on over at the house, and they was a partying, I'd go over to Ethel and I'd say, Ethel, can I go to church with you? She'd say, Genevieve, go home, wash your face. Probably wash up my arm because it was probably snot up elbow high. And I went a many a time, and I might have washed my face, but I might have missed a couple of drops. But God said, you went to church before with snot on your nose. Don't worry about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, praise God. The Lord is so good, and I will apologize to the girls over here. I'm sure they come wanting to hear Lisa. Lisa wasn't supposed to be here this morning. You know, when we was kids, we used to plan our lifestyle around Daddy's schedule. Because Daddy was pretty much a taskmaster. He told us what to do and when to do and didn't want us to make any noise when he was home. So if we wanted to have a party, we wanted to have it while he was gone. And then we wanted to put one up in the tree for the outlook to make sure we didn't call it when he get back. Praise God. But I know Lisa don't mind if we have a party this morning. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, God knew she was going to be here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he knows it's party time in his house. He knows it's time for people to be able to want to come in and be excited about coming in and getting a hold of something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Wilda, this morning when I come over to you, you didn't have an idea what I was going to talk about. And the first thing you said to me is, no, we got it on both sides. Everybody made a little shine.
Yes.
And I want you to know my Lord and my God was a winemaker. Hallelujah to God. We're among good people this morning. Hallelujah. We just praise him this morning. There ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, and a Holy Ghost party don't stop. We don't have to go to Tennessee to get high. Bless God, they might make a little shine down there, but I come out of shiners. Hallelujah. When they couldn't afford to buy it, they could make it. Yes, indeed. They'd make a little homebrew, and they'd make a little shine, and Uncle Pete used to make a little elderberry wine, little dandelion wine. You don't remember any of that, do you, Jack? You ain't saying. Praise God. I don't want to take anything away from God's glory and his majesty and the preciousness of him, but I want you to know that God knows who we are, where we are, and he wants the people in the house of Almighty God to be happier than anybody else in the world. We've got something here that is greater, that doesn't leave you with a downer or a hangover, doesn't have to make you wonder if what you did was okay, because he can cover every one of your mistakes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You don't have to be all right. Everything doesn't have to be perfect to come into the house of God. He said, come just the way you are. Hallelujah. And not only was he glad to see the son of coming home, but he met him down the road a ways. There's a song that says he ran to him. Hallelujah. And if you're here this morning and you're not in a good place with God, if you'll just take one step toward him. I don't think the morning I got saved, I didn't get saved till I get to the altar. I believe the minute I stepped out of my seat, glory to God, there was something wonderful that came down over me and overtook me. Hallelujah. I know now that when he was on the cross, hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2,000 years ago, I was on his mind. Hallelujah. The fact that I had been in a bar room the night before and all hell had broke loose didn't bother him, because he knew that the price had already been paid, and he knew that there was something there worth working on and saving. Aren't you glad this morning? It doesn't matter where you come from. Bless God, doesn't matter what your family did. Jesus loves you, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And I'll get to scripture in a little bit. It'll tell you that God can do for you in 7 minutes what it'll take man 7 years to do. I don't know about you this morning, but I want something from God. I've looked to man for answers, and there hasn't been any. Chris, God's got something for you. I'm telling you, man will give you every ailment, every pill, everything he can stick you with. And I'm not taking away from that, but I know God. He made the heart. He made this body. He put it together, and he is able to restore and rekindle and re-strengthen. Hallelujah. By his word. Isn't that wonderful this morning that the word of God is alive? It is quickened. end. Hallelujah. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's not a sword that will cut you, that will hurt you, but it is one that will discern and come in and get away that which isn't good and add in what is good. Hallelujah. For years we've been told how bad we were and what God was going to do to clean us up. Well, I tell you, praise God, when the prodigal come home, he didn't get him down and scrub behind his ears. He didn't strip him down and check for needle points. Amen. He didn't take out all them earrings and them doobobs. And don't let yourself think for a minute they didn't have them back then. They had more gold and jewelry and rings and stuff than they've ever had. He didn't take any of them off. But I tell you, he met him halfway. And he added to it. He put a ring on his finger. And he put a robe. And you know, we've talked a lot about Mephibosheth. And how when he sat at the table, they said, don't look under the table at his crippledness. Well, I tell you, I believe that robe that he put around his son covered everything that he ever was. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. And I tell you, there is a group of young people out there today that God's wanting to bring in. And they ain't pretty. But to God, they're beautiful. He loves every one of them. And he's going to cover everything they've ever done and every place they've ever been. Hallelujah. Well, I do have a text this morning. And it's over in John. It's in the second chapter. We're going to talk a little bit about, where's Beth? Rebecca. Rebecca, I could just see you when I was doing this when they said to Mary talked to him. And there was a little Katugal going over here in the corner. And she listened to him and said, what's going on? Well, said, we ran out of wine. They're in bad shape. They're in the middle of a wedding, and they've run out of wine. You know what Mary said? I just could see you, Becca. Whatever. It's a big thing today. These girls, whatever. Whatever's going on. Whatever. Well, you know, Mary had the same answer. Whatever. No, didn't bother in the least. Whatever. So I had to think about that, and I thought, Mary, how did you get so that you didn't hesitate? You didn't worry about the situation. It was just whatever. And so we're going to talk about Mary this morning, and we're going to talk about this wedding. Praise God. It says that on the third day, you hear that, Lisa? Third day. Hallelujah. There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to this wedding. I don't know about you, but back in the day, I don't believe there was a bar room on every corner. I don't believe there was nightclubs to go to. I don't believe that there was a whole lot of shaking going on down the road at every bebop place that there was. Their coming together was family things. And weddings. And when they got together, they got together to socialize and to have a good time and to be able, like you all did, even over the passing away of your loved one, to get to recreate some memories and be able to talk about things and be able to kick back a little bit. And I don't read too many places in the Word of God where Jesus got to do that. So he was there with some friends. And I don't know, you'll have to go along with my imagination a little bit, but I believe they got in the back corner where they had a good view about what was going on, and they were sitting there talking back and forth to one another and waiting to see what all was going to happen and everything. And so it says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, whatever he says to you to do it. So when they ran out of wine, when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. And otherwise, he was saying, mom, he was looking down the road. He knew what was facing him. And this was going to be a day where he could just sit back and relax. For the cost of the cross was ahead of him. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you to do, do it. And I thought, my Lord and my God, if we ever had enough confidence in him that what he ever he said for us to do, that we would do it. Hallelujah. This morning, my question for you is this. What are you listening to? What are you hearing? The Word of God says that we have ears to hear, and we cannot hear. So now I'm going to look back at Mary, and I'm going to say, Mary, by what authority do you speak? And then we remember that she was a young virgin who had been overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God for that Holy Ghost. And she had an immaculate conception. But even during all that, and is wonderful, you think, oh, I wish I'd have been Mary. Let me tell you, in that, she lived with reproach, with lies, with gossip, with unbelief. And she did it all for the joy of being a vessel that carried the Son of God. He was all man and he was all God. Hallelujah. And God is looking for vessels today who are willing to pay the price, to give themselves to him, that he might live in them fully. Hallelujah. As all man and all God, to present this nation. And I tell you, we're rocking and rolling in this world today. We're going to need something, and isn't it wonderful? And I tell you, church, live above the fray, because they're going to need something. Governments are going to crumble, and God's going to establish his own. We're right on time this morning. We're right on time. God's always on time. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Praise God. She had the promise of the Almighty living in her womb, the Messiah, the very Son of God. You know, we take it for granted that the Holy Ghost will overshadow us and be within us. But I tell you, it was the greatest thing I ever heard of. If Sister Shirley was here today, we could pick on her. Because I'll never forget when we were at a meeting to receive the Holy Ghost. I just wanted to back up about 3 feet and let her get it. I wanted to be sure it was okay in how she acted. You know, because I don't like to get loud. I don't like to get out of order. Jack's just a grinning at me. So I figured if she'd get it first and she did okay, then maybe I'd try it. Praise God. And so this was Mary. She was out front. God had chosen her. She was out of the lineage in the loins of David. She was set apart to be the mother of Christ. You have to excuse me. This old woman's voice cracks. Praise God. She could speak with assurance from heaven, whatever he says to do. When she first held that baby, Joyce ain't going to be long. It ain't going to be long. And there's nothing like it. And I tell you, when she held that little baby in her hands, and the first thing you do is look at their little hands and their dear little feet, and you want to kiss them. And you want to goo goo gaga all over them because it's wonderful. But when she looked at that, and she saw that this was God in the flesh. How can you take all that in? How could you hold all of that and realize who he was and what he was? Jim, if you will turn the thing up here to Isaiah 40 and 12. I want to go there for just a little bit. I'm laying a foundation so you can see what she saw and what she felt. She looked at them little hands and she said, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heavens with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in the balance? Imagine when she looked in those hands, because you know what? Mary was well versed with the Word of God. She had read Isaiah or had it read to her. She knew what it said and declared about this child that she held in her hands. Hallelujah to God. It's almost unfathomable that the God of Almighty had came on earth as this child. Praise God. When she felt his breath on her cheek, probably blew little bubbles under his neck to get him to smile. She thought about the day that he went to the dust of the earth and breathed and made man. Hallelujah. She felt Hungalarashataya. She felt that breath. The very breath that was life-giving breath to a whole world. Hallelujah. And she had to feel awed at this child that she held. Praise God. So when Mary said, whatever. Whatever, Becca. Hallelujah. Whatever. She knew just exactly what it was that she was saying whatever to. Praise God. But that was a long time ago. Now we're at this wedding. The Bible says that Jesus was 30. Now I added 2 and 2 and 2 and 2 and 2. Counted my fingers and my toes. And that put Mary probably about 44. She was a young girl. She was a young girl, praise God, when she got pregnant. And so she was there. He wasn't the only one invited. Mary was invited too. And they came to celebrate this wedding with friends. Jesus had never performed a miracle up to this day. If what I read is true, this was the beginning of it. And he knew when he started his ministry that it was going to be quick. You know, 3 years ain't long. He had lived 30, and 3 years it was going to be just about over. Maybe he wasn't anxious, or maybe he knew that his time was starting. He realized more than anyone, he was fully aware that the cross was ahead of him. Praise God, but not today. Not today. Oh, God, please not today. Today's not a good day. You know, the Lord wants you to do something. You say, oh, not today. I'll maybe do it another time, but oh, not today. Don't let that, not today. It ain't a good day. But today was the day, and God needs us today. He just absolutely needs us today. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, so they're at the wedding. Jesus and his friends are sitting back in the corner. A little carrying on going on over here, and there's not any wine. And it doesn't tell you, but just because of where they lived and who all was around, I kind of got the idea it was a Jewish wedding, Lisa. Kind of figured, just might be a Jewish wedding. And the computer's wonderful, so I went on the computer. Don't know a thing about Jewish weddings. But I said, God, what was going on there? I need an idea. I want to present something to you all of what God is able to do in his surroundings and what he's able to do through us in our surroundings. You don't have to be in Tennessee this morning to get high on God. You don't have to be in Tennessee this morning, even though it's wonderful, and I thank God for all that. But I tell you, we've got to know where we're at. He is also. Hallelujah to God, he is able this morning. But we've got to be able. We've got to be willing, I'm sorry. He is able. He'll make us able. Hallelujah. And so they were at this wedding, and it was a Jewish wedding. And at a Jewish wedding, they have great celebrations, even today. I'll tell you, they haven't changed a whole lot. What they did back then, and I read on the computer, is pretty much what they do today. And I want to tell you something. We got a couple of weddings going to take place here before long in the family. And it's real hard to find a day. And if you think it's hard to find a day when there's another going on in the same month, if you're of Jewish faith, it's really hard to find a day. Because almost every day in the Word of God was a bad day, a wrong day, something happened on. You can't do this on this day and can't do that on that day. And they really had a hard time. If you was from a big family, it might take you a couple years before you could find a day that suited. I mean, think about it. It's hard to get all this together. There's all these showers and all kind of things, and nobody can have something the same day as anybody else, and you had to get it all worked out. But this couple had finally come together, and they were going to get married. Hallelujah. And in Jewish tradition, you're separated. At least for 24 hours. You don't see each other. And there's a time of fasting. So when they come together, they're real excited to get the wedding and to have the party because it's celebration time. They really celebrate. It is one of the happiest and the holiest days of their lives. And this is wonderful. It is a day when all past sins and mistakes are forgiven. What a day. This thing of things being thrown up in your face of what you did yesterday, 2 months ago, or old so-and-so you used to date. Well, if you liked him, you'd still been with him. But I tell you, in Jewish tradition, when they get done celebrating and they put that glass on the floor and they mashed it, you didn't bring up nothing anymore. Praise it. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Save a whole lot of arguments. Hallelujah to God. And I tell you, when we come into him and we give our life to Him, it's the same thing. There's being a wedding that day. The glass is being broken, and He's saying, your yesterdays are gone. Hallelujah. Your sin is removed from you as far as the east is from the west, not to be brought up again, bless God. So when the enemy comes around, and he'll come to you more than anybody else, and he'll make you think so-and-so thinks this, and so-and-so thinks that, and if you're asked to do something, you can't do it because you made a mistake, or it was this, or it was that, and I'm telling you, you can put him to flight because you can remind him that the day that you were joined into Christ, all of your mistakes, all of your yesterdays are forgiven and forgotten, never to be brought against you again. Hallelujah. But this was a part of the Jewish wedding ceremony. Hallelujah. A day of all past sins and mistakes forgiven. They brought the bride in, and she sat as a queen. They brought in today. They're all decked out. And so she had her portion, and her friends come in with her, and the wedding groom came in with his guest. And he was surrounded by them. And they would toast him and salute him, and they were having a big time. But I tell you, something happened that changed their celebration. Because when they began to have another toast, they looked around and they said, well, come on. And the guy said, there ain't no more wine. There is no more wine. Now I want to tell you, I got on the computer again. Because I don't know a whole bunch about winemaking either. My daddy might have made a little homebrew, but I didn't know nothing about no winemaking. I do know that it takes a long time to get a vine to grow. I'd love to do it, but I think, so I planted one now, I'd be too old. I couldn't even walk out to pick the grapes off of it. But it takes time to make a vine to grow. So you go in, every time I go in to Lowe's, I look out there on them shelves, and I see them vines there for grapes and things. I thought, oh my, I'd just love to be able to plant them and get them to grow. But it's a long time happening. But anyway, there was no wine. And so, if you're going to make wine, and they couldn't run down to, I don't want to give nobody no credit around here, but the local liquor store and buy it, there was no place to go get it. There was no wine. And I don't think anybody's going to step forth and admit they'd been making some maybe on the side and volunteer it. This is my idea, but being Jewish, holiday, say, I don't know that they would do that. But we need some wine. And so in order to plant that vine, you got to till that soil. When you till it up, you got to put some good fertilizer in it. You've got to make sure that the weather's right. You got to cultivate that soil. And after all that is done, you better pray that the weather's good. Because if the weather ain't good, it's very hard to grow wine. Matter of fact, not every place. They're finding out more all the time now that you can grow wine or grapes more places than they knew you could. You know that? Yeah. It's starting to spread a little bit because for a while it had to be in a certain section of the country, certain places in the world, and some wine was better than others. But they're finding out now that you can grow it and make it a lot of different places. And I know some of you are saying, oh, now there you go. You're going to say it. They all got wine. They all drank wine. They all get drunk. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you a principle here. That in order for them to get wine, something miraculous had to take place. Yeah. Now, in man's hand, it takes a long time. So after you have planted that vine, and after the soil has been tilled, and after you have to go and trim it, you've got to go out there and be the master gardener. And you've got to make sure that everything about it is fine. Because if you've ever seen any kind of a movie or anything on winemaking, the least little change in the weather or the atmosphere can ruin it all. Can ruin it all. So I just figured. My figuring might be off a little bit, but I don't think it's off too much. I figured from the time you put it in the ground, do you dig the soil? Do you put the fertilizer on it till you water it? Till it begins to grow and you begin to snip it back. I think that's the craziest thing I've ever heard tell of. When buds comes on the flowers, you're supposed to pull off the first buds because the next buds will be prettier. So the wine, they had to trim it back a little bit. They had to crop it back. And to it begin to grow, well, the first year there might be one bud of grapes. The second year there might be two or three. It takes a while before you get a good crop, Lisa. It just takes a while. And so from the time that they got started till there was enough to grow, till the people went and picked it, till they got in one of them barrels. I seen on Lucy, and they mashed it up with their feet. I'm sure there's another way they do it, but I seen them do it like that until they made the wine, till they got it in the bottles. And I want to tell you something. This wasn't rot gut. It wasn't rot gut, Jack. It wasn't some of that stuff. It ain't good. So that says to me that till you get that wine in that bottle, you got to age it. You got to put it someplace. You got to roll it. You got to turn it. You got to give it time to age, hallelujah, that it's good. Praise God. So with all my figuring, I figured that took about 7 years. Hallelujah, because it takes 7 years for something to really get good. Hallelujah. So that, you know, they ain't going to hold that wedding off 7 years. You ain't going to wait that long for Terry, are you? 7 years? You might think about it. She ain't here waiting for that. But it's a long time. And they wanted to continue with that wedding, and they wanted to be able to do their final toast. And it says that whenever Mary said to her son, now where in the world would she say that? They're out of wine. He said, woman, what's that to me? She had such a confidence in them hands that it dipped out the emotions. You know, we need that confidence this morning. Can I tell you this morning that when you say you have a need and you bring that need to him, whatever, whatever, I'm telling you, he is able, but it's on our part. Because whenever he saw this situation and he saw 6 wine pots, great big old stone jars, water pots that held 30 gallons each. That's a pretty good sized pot to hold 30 gallons. And you know what? In my stupidness, and I thought, well, he said, fill them with water. Get the hose, Ike. Let's get them filled. But they didn't have any hoses back then. My lands, how far away was the well? How many runners did they have to send? Did they do a water brigade? Have you seen them do a water brigade? Well, one guy's at the bottom of the hill, and they fill it up, and they throw it up to the other. They wanted to get this party going on. Have you ever been to a party? You know? And the keg's empty? You want somebody to bring something in? Got to have something to drink or the party stops. Well, there ain't no party, I'll say again, like a Holy Ghost party. And a Holy Ghost party don't stop. So they had a time getting the water up into the barrel. But you know, he didn't say put a little bit in this one and put a little bit in that one. Everybody just get a little something in there. What did he say? Fill it up to the brim. He's telling us this morning, if we've got something that he's not tight with, the Holy Ghost up to the brim, it just might spill over or splash out a little bit. You got to be careful, because when you come in someplace and somebody's full of it, if you ever get full of it, I'm probably full of it most of the time or something anyway, but when you're full of it, it just might splash out on somebody. Hallelujah. Sometimes you're dangerous to be around. Pappy Jack gets a jerk on. Hallelujah. Gets happy. You can see see the Holy Ghost on him. Hallelujah. Because when you're full of it, there's a reaction that comes with it. There's just a reaction that comes with it. We oughtn't to be embarrassed about it. Praise God, if anything, we ought to be glad. Get something to hurt you good, and you'll be glad to get the Holy Ghost on you. Because for a little while, you can get the kinks out. Praise God. So I don't know how long it took. But I know these guys filled up the water pots. Hallelujah. And when they were filled, now he didn't go over with a magic wand and do chandelier and all that kind of stuff. Didn't do a thing. Everything God wants to do to bless you, he's going to ask you to do something. Now he could do it without you, but that just isn't the way God works. He said, fill the water pots. Make your vessel available. Come in where you can get something in your pot. Because an old stone, cold, empty pot ain't much use. Might stick a few flowers in it sometime. Tammy would have one in her corner if it was an old pot, I'll tell you that. She'd like that. But that's not what God's idea was. He wanted something in there that would be good for the celebration. And so they did their part, and all he said was, if I read it right, he said, pour some out. But he said, before you drink it, you take it to the master. Hallelujah. You give him a taste. You let him see what's in that vessel. Let him check it out. Hallelujah to God. Now, I'll be real honest with you. I've tasted some wine, and I ain't really like none of it. I don't know what this tastes like. It might be my taste. Might be that I ain't got very good taste either. But most anything I ever tasted didn't taste so good. But when they took it to the master, what did he say? Come on, Lisa, help me out. Can you imagine? He said, you know what? Mostly when there's a party, people get out their good stuff, and they serve it first. And he said, after people are well drunken, then you bring out the bad stuff because they don't know the difference. You drink a little rot gut then and think it's good because if you're under the influence, you really don't know after a while what's good and what's bad. You're just in the groove, and it all tastes okay. Been there and done that. Not a lot of times, but been there and done that. So you save back the best. I don't get that. This wine that was made was done in, I said 7 minutes. I don't imagine they could fill them pots and do it in 7 minutes. But I believe when he spoke his word, it was already there. He was just waiting for the people to do their part. And I'll tell you right now, within you is a finished work. Hallelujah. Glory unto the Lord. I tell you right now, within you is something complete. He's just waiting for you to get a hold of it and begin to allow the waters to bubble and to flow up within you, that he can bring them forth, that he can take you to the nations, that you can be poured out a cold drink of water to a world that's thirsty and dying and looking for something. How many young people are we going to have to lose on drugs before somebody's going to stand up in the midst of them and say, hey, I found something that's better than this junk and that junk and stuff that'll kill you. You don't have to try this and you don't have to do that, because I tell you, I have found something that will satisfy you. Hallelujah. It's something that once you've tasted it, you won't want to turn back to anything else. But I mean to tell you, it will cleanse the thirst for anything that this world has to offer. When we was 21 years old, Ike, that's so long ago, and we've been out drinking and out partying, bless God, it was rough. Hallelujah. And the next day, I had to go get Grandma Barker and take her to church because dear Aunt Zeta wasn't able to take her. Thank God. That's a sickness that was unto life and not unto death. She was sick and I had to go. And God had all that planned. Bless God. Had to get her. Had to take her to church. We had been out raising Cain most of the night. And to go into that church the next morning, worried, not knowing all that went on, what kind of results it was going to bring, concerned about my children. And a new minister was there that day, and I probably told some of you all before, but he preached, and he preached the word of God. And I looked over at Grandma and I thought, Grandma, shame on you. You told that guy all about me. How did he know what kind of rascal I was? How did he know I'd done all them things? Grandma, why did you go tell him all that stuff? But you know, Grandma hadn't told him a thing. But God had shared with him the needs that I had. He had shared that as a little girl I was hungry and looking for something. He had shared with him that even though I'd been raised in a tavern, at least it was never my intention to go back to a tavern. That's why I got married. I wanted to get out of it. But things will draw you in. It'll take you where you really don't want to go and keep you, like Lisa said, longer than you want to stay. And cost you more. But because of friends, because of situations, because of wanting to have a little fun, you will sometimes go because you just want something to do. That might sound terrible, but people are looking for something to do. And we've got the greatest to do that there is, but if we keep it in a box and we don't ever share it, or if it's something that we don't want to share, or we're afraid of what people's going to think about it if we do, people will step beside you and stand beside you and be beside you in the world. You can work beside them, live beside them, go to the gas stations every day, the grocery stores, and if you never take time to let them know, hallelujah. Now, I know that when we went places after we were saved, and Ike will tell you too. And we talked about it. They said, you know, we ain't seen you a long time. Don't you go out anymore? We've been here, we've been there. Ain't you had any parties lately? And we'd say, well, no. We give our heart to God. We're going to church. And I'll tell you, we really like it. It's really good. What would they say, Ike? They say, we'll give you a couple months. You'll be back. We'll give you a couple months, and you'll be back. Because they didn't realize the effect that it had on our lives. We thank God every day for the chains that it broke off of our lives. Now, we didn't light up and glow in the dark. We didn't get perfect right away. Ain't perfect now. I don't think we glow in the dark. We might have a night light on. That's right, as bright as it gets. But I'm telling you, it makes a difference in you. It makes a difference in you. Hallelujah. And while you're saved and transformed in the inner man, if ever there's an opportunity to go into the world and tell them about Jesus, that's the time. Because they knew who you were and where you were. And they're looking for a way out. They'll never tell you that. But today there is a world full of young people out there and older people too that have tried everything and nothing satisfies. They're looking for a way out. They're looking for something better. And like I said, a lot of them are dying because they're trying something new. What we've got won't hurt you. What we have to offer won't kill you. It'll take you higher than you've ever been. It'll give you a joy unspeakable and full of glory. It'll put a dance in your feet. Hallelujah to God. I didn't quit dancing, Sister Willa, when I got saved. I just changed dance floors. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't dance enough anymore. I get it in the knees and creaking in the back and all that. Maybe if I dance a little bit more, I get rid of some of that. Because I believe dancing does you good. They've proven a little bit of dancing keeps you young and does you good. Hallelujah. Maybe we need to get out in the aisle a little bit more, Lisa. Would we scare you if we got out in the aisle and we got to shouting and dancing and coming up the... When they used to talk about David coming up the road, it got on me pretty good. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God, I couldn't hardly sit still. Woo! Praise God. Let's get some of that wine spilled over on us. Glory to God, Jim. It's all right. It's what'll keep you. It's what'll satisfy you. It'll keep you from straying. You can't wait to get back into it. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Since Sister Shirley ain't here, I'm going to talk about her. When you're well acquainted with somebody, you really know them. Being my sister and all, and us walking hand in hand through a lot of our life, I know her real good. I know her walk. And whether she's sick or well, I tell you, it surprises me this morning. She's got to be pretty sick not to be here. She's got to be pretty sick not to be here. Because when I felt bad and I couldn't come, she'd say, Jenny, my legs hurts me so bad, I don't know what to do. I said, I know they do, Shirley. But I know you won't miss. I know whatever it is that's in you, you just won't miss. Now, I told her, but she lives closer to the church than I do, and all of her family's there. And so if she goes and stumbles, some of y'all pick her. I give her all kind of excuses. But it don't hold water. She's there because she wants to be there, not because you all are here, but because the God in her stands up in her, no matter how much pain she's in, no matter how bad she feels, because she said the blessings, hallelujah, the blessings are there, hallelujah. And I get strength out of the blessings, praise God. We really do need to give ourselves more to Him, that He might stand up in us, that our pot might be full, that there's no other direction that we can go in. Hallelujah. Because He has put the call on us to be here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was saved before she was, but she set an example before me. That every step that she's taken, I could have followed her and respected her. And I could be like Mary said of Jesus. Whatever He says to do, do it. Because she has tried with all of her heart to walk it out. Praise God. I didn't know Lisa was going to be here today. Get me another sip of water. We was going to have a party without her. I got after Beth. Tortured her, probably. I told Sabrina, I said, you tell Beth I want to get her a good song ready for Sunday morning. And it wasn't a Christian song. But you know, there's a lot of songs in the world you could change a couple words in, and they'd be good. They'd be real good. I don't listen to a lot of country music, but I listen to a little bit. It was singing about a party. Sabrina said she told Beth, and her face got red, and she laughed. Oh, my, she said. Praise God. But we can have a party. And we can come in and get a hold of God. Praise God. And God makes a difference. You know, Joey, when I look back and I look at you, and I see the shine of Almighty God, and I know what He's doing in your Audrey's life, I want you to know that even at this age of life, it's not too old to have a call of God on your life. I know the guys you work with is going to see a difference. Your neighbors are going to see a difference. I know that you can touch people that we can't touch. Amen. Hallelujah to God that He is able. He's able to do you in 7 minutes. What it would take the world 7 years to do. Catch a hold of that. That God is able, handle a rashataya, to bring you out, to lift you up, and to set you in places with a testimony. Amen. That I don't have. Amen. That I don't have. But you can do it because God's brought you through hell and brought you and put your feet on a solid rock that you can stand and say, buddy, I don't care how bad it is. I don't know how deep you're in. I don't know what all's bothering you. But I know what He's done for me. And it is the best testimony, Audrey, you can give. It's not knowing all the word. Amen. The devil knows the word. Yes. And trembles. Yes. But he ain't got sense enough to listen to it. But you've heard the word. It's made a difference in your life. You've got a hold of it. And you can share it with someone else. And because they know who you was and where you was and you're not there anymore, they're going to think, bless God. Yes, sir. Just yes. Maybe it works. Yes. Maybe it just ain't for old women and kids. Yes. Maybe, bless God, if it can do something for Joey. Get the Holy Ghost all over him. Get him out on the job, in the neighborhoods, and begin to tell Yandala Rashandaya. I believe that this morning. I was a sinner. I was 21 years old. Hallelujah. Gave my heart to God and made a difference because I went up and down the roads, the highways and the byways. I went from people's houses that run taverns, that run whorehouses, that committed adultery on their wives. They came to our tavern. I went to their door. I didn't know they wasn't married to the people they was in a bar with, or I got there and I began to tell them about Jesus. I didn't know it. Didn't know it. But you know, when things got rough and death was at their door, they told their daughters, you go call. They still call me Jenny Moss. You go get a hold of her, because she told me one time about Jesus, and I don't believe I'm going to make it this time. You get her to come to the hospital and pray with me. Not all of them received. One gal I went to used to run a whorehouse. She didn't want to hear it, but her daughter sat there, and she listened to every word. And one day in a difficult situation, she called me and she said, Jenny, Mom might not have heard what you said, but I did. So I'm telling you, the word of God will not fall on deaf ears. He has a people prepared that will hear. He has a people that have just about lost their ear or maybe had it cut off in fights and hells and all kind of carryings on. And now they can hear what they couldn't hear before, because sometimes you got to go through rough places before you're able to hear. Praise God. They took the wine to the master. He took a drink of it. And he said, I'll tell you, this is living. This is real. He looked in the cup, and it was moving. I don't know a lot about wine, but they say good wine has a little movement to it, stuff like that. And you say, well, Jenny, you got all this going on, and Christ made the wine. He sat back in the corner with his buddies. What was he doing? Well, I'm going to get in my imagination zone again, Jack. I got a pretty big imagination. But I think he was sitting back there. He may have had a glass to hold up a toast. He may have been looking down through the ages. Hallelujah. Bless God. He was looking down through the ages, because, you know, things are different with our Lord than they are with us. We got our calendar all mapped out, and right now I got a good many checkbooks on April and what else is going on in May and June and stuff, because we got a lot of stuff coming up. And I don't want to miss anything. And he had a lot on his plate. And as he sat there, And he looked down and he saw the bride and he saw the groom. And he knew that the wedding was taking place. And I want to tell you, the word says that he was all man and all God. And at 30 years old, he saw a bride that he was not going to have in this life. He looked down and he saw a love and a commitment. And he didn't have to have a sour grape about it. He could smile because he had loving on his mind. He saw the commitment that they were making, and he knew as he looked down through the eons of ages, Wilda, he looked in your eyes and he saw you. Joey looked in your eyes and he saw you. Sterling, he looked in your eyes and he saw you. Miss B, he looked in your eyes. He knew right where he was going to be today. He knew what a good grandma you was. He looked in Joey's eyes. Now, Joey, if I told your man's going to look in your eyes and make eyes at you, you'd think, oh, I don't think so. But you know, his bride is a group of all people. Hallelujah. It's not male nor female, but it's all people. And when he looked down through the ages, Steve, and he saw you, he got a delight that welled up within him. Robin, did you know you was going to be a part of the bride of Christ? And we think, oh, Jenny, you know, that's old stuff. That happened over 2,000 years ago. How can you relate it to today? Well, the Bible says, Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, but 1,000 years is as a day. A day is as 1,000 years. So let's say about 2 days ago, not even 2.5 days ago, Jesus was at a wedding. Hallelujah. And yes. You was on his mind.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You was on his mind. He sat in the corner and he watched what was going on. He saw the cross before him. He saw a wife, a bride, someone that was going to make a difference in this earth. Hallelujah to God. You was on his mind. Sounds like another old country song. Praise God. And Jack sings, when I was on the cross, you were on my mind. When he was sitting in the corner watching this wedding feast, seeing these two being joined together, we was on his mind. Hallelujah. And it was only a couple days ago in his time. Only a couple days ago. We're talking about a third day. And what's going to happen? It's not far off. He is not afar off. Hallelujah to God. He's come this morning with the purpose of claiming what is his. Hallelujah to God. Now, I want to tell you all something. One of the best messages that I ever heard Jeremy preach was about his wedding. And he said the night of the wedding, if I heard him right, they were so busy having a party that he had a good time. But he didn't consummate his wedding that night. Now, I tell you, if I understood correctly, I think it's what he said. He went to sleep. He went to sleep. You know, she was already his wife. She was already his wife. And Jesus has a wife that he's coming. We've called her the bride. But I tell you, he's coming to consummate some things. He's coming to make all things right. And he sees a world that has no faith and no trust in anything or anybody that's going on. It's not by happenstance. My goodness, all these people are just blaming each other and a wailing and a hollering and wanting to hang and shoot and kill. They don't bother Jesus any. He said, I don't want you to trust in that anyway. I got something better. I'm coming back to restore a few things. I'm able to do in 7 minutes what it'll take man 7 years to do. Hallelujah. He is able to take the water pots, us, these vessels. All he asks you to do is get a hold of him and get filled up. This is a day to get filled up to the brim. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This vineyard that he's planted, he's been tending to. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I felt him come around and clip me a couple times. And I don't mean this kind of a clip, but I've seen him prune off some things off of me.
Amen.
He's had to prune some things off.
Yeah.
He's had to take and put some fertilizer around me and kick in around my roots one more time, because it's a different day. It's a different word. And I'm really careful that I don't want to get into something that's not God. So I really rummage through things. I really check them out. I want to be able to say whatsoever, hallelujah, he says to do, you do it. I want to know that it's him. And then I want to be able to be something that will be a cold drink for someone else. Praise God. You know, maybe you think, well, you know, there's nothing really that God can do for me. Everything's good. Things are going good. I got a wife, got two or three kids, got a house. Everything's working fine. But when it's not, and you're trusting God for what's about to come, and don't know where else to turn because you've turned to everybody and everything else. Where do you go when you've tried it and it's not happened? I mean, there's people today that need miracles, things that only God can do. We don't want him to be afar off. We don't want him to be the last resort. But we want you to know that in God's time, he is able to shift things up a little bit. Hallelujah. He's able to do it quicker than man can do it. Put your trust in him. The word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. It's stinking thinking up here. Maybe I'm trusted better because I've lost my mind. I don't trust in me much anymore. I know I can't do all there is to do. But he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Quit trying to figure it out. But trust him. Be foolish enough to trust him. Hallelujah. And go for it. Whatever he says for you to do, don't try to figure it out, but just trust him. Don't say to yourself, now, Jenny, don't come in here and try to get me all stirred up. I've been here for a long time. I've been here a lot of nights. You ain't here. I've tried to believe, and it's not working for me. It just hasn't been what I want it to be, and I need more. If something don't soon happen, I'm not going to be able to hang in much longer. Today's the wedding day. That's all I can tell you. It is a wedding day. It's a day like we have never lived before. And just in a few minutes, he can change the course of your history. Your life will never be the same. He can make your wildest dreams come true. Hey, Dan, you remember the day your wildest dreams came true? Amen. Hallelujah. When you knew there's going to be a wedding, one that you didn't think could ever be. Hallelujah. He's able to make your wildest dreams come true. You're saying, oh, but, you know, that was for Dan and Lisa, and that worked out. It ain't in the cards for me. I want to tell you something. Let me tell you a little story. Better get me a drink first. Then I got to wind this up. I'm going to be, my husband will tell me I talk too long. I just tell you a little story about my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law was John Grove's sister, where you guys used to live, Ruth Grove. She was still in the home place where you all lived for years. And let's say she was getting well-aged. I hate to say that because, my, that's so young. But she was 35 years old and she had never been married. That was a long time. That's a long time today. And a lot of people would have wrote it off and thought, 35 years. Well, I tell Sabrina that. She said, Mom, 35 years. She had not been married. She had not found Mr. Wright. But she had a friend who had a friend who had been moved into this area because he was a good stonemason. And so her friend said to her, why don't you go with me and my friend, and we'll introduce you to a friend that he's made, and just maybe, at 35 years old, he could be Mr. Wright. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd go. If I'd sat around by myself for 35 years, I wouldn't be as particular as I was when I was 21. I might have went. And she did. She got on her finest bib and tucker, and she went with him. And she met Ike's daddy, Galen. The CC camp had moved him into this area because he was a good stonemason. And she met him, and something must have clicked. Because I'm telling you, they got married. Now, Ike, you're going to have to help me out, so don't tell me you don't know. She was a whole lot older than him. How much older was she than him? 12 or 13 years older than him. What do you think of that? Almost unheard of. God did for her in 7 minutes, 17 minutes. What it took man 7 years to do. She got hooked up with somebody that loved her, wanted to marry her. Bless God, I'm telling you. And when they got married at 36 or 37 years old, she got pregnant again and again and again and again and again. Five boys in the same bed at home. What a mighty woman she was. So don't tell me there's no hope for you today. Don't tell me it can't happen. Hallelujah. Some of us are so busy going through the process, we don't enjoy the ride. Hallelujah. At that age, she found Mr. Wright. She got married and had them babies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's wonderful. And when I got... Pardon me? Oh, I've been Beijing. Because when I met my Mr. Wright, I took him to Grandma Barker's. Because I really valued Grandma's opinion. And she quizzed him real good. She asked things I wouldn't have asked. But she asked him and she talked to him. And boy, Ike, he was real straight and he just talked real right back to her. He had courage enough. He went to my daddy and asked my daddy if he could marry me. And I really thought he would never come out of that room. I'll be real honest with you. When he said, would you marry me? And I said, yeah, but you got to ask daddy. I really didn't think daddy was going to let me. But he went in and he asked him. And when he come out of there, he come out grinning, them dimples are shining. He was just adorable. And he said, hey, he said, I can marry you. Praise God. So I took him to Grandma's and she talked to him real good and asked him a bunch of questions. And that was probably on Sunday afternoon or something. But when I went back to see her. No, tell me. I know my daddy. It took a lot of guts. You and him was a lot alike in some ways. In the day, he could be a pretty hard man to ask anything of. But anyway, I'm telling you, whenever it's right, and whenever God is in your presence, and when I went back on Monday to Grandma's, and I said, Grandma, what did you think? Well, she said, this was Grandma. She had her apron on, and she rolled it up, and she rolled it down, and she walked around, and she said, I'll tell you, he's from pretty good stock. Can you imagine? Pretty good stock. I said, is that good? Yeah, she said, that's good. It's just funny. It was funny to me then because I didn't understand it all, but it was a wonderful thing because a woman was willing to try at an age when other people would said it was too late. I want to encourage you this morning. It's not too late to dream big. It's not too late for God to do something exceedingly, abundantly above that which you've ever asked of him. He's not finished with miracles. His hand is not short, that he is not able to reach down and to do something greater for you than you've ever been able to do for yourself. Because you know what? If you can do it for yourself, you really don't need him. You can work it out for yourself. So think of something that you can't do. Think of some place you want to go. Think of something that you say, hey, if Lisa asks me, I'm going to do it. Volunteer. Praise God. Get into it. Hallelujah. Dare. Just dare to say, God, stretch me. Just stretch me out a little bit. Let me see if I'm able to do that. Let's just see what happens. Praise God. Tell your friends. Tell your coworkers. Tell the volunteers wherever you're at. Take time to see a neighbor. Talk to a stranger. Don't listen to a voice that says, don't do it. Go anyway. They just might be dying for you to come and to talk to them. I had to admire the people that came to Tom's funeral. I didn't know who half of them was. But I know they knew Sister Wilda. They knew the way that her and Tom walked. They knew who they were. They respected them and they came out of respect. A lot of people don't go to funerals today. But I tell you, they came out of respect for a people who had taken time to tell a lot of them, to pray for them. They know where to call. Hallelujah. They know that God has stretched her into believing and not being afraid to say things that someone else might look at the wrong way. Praise God. He's on your mind this morning. Praise God. He is on your mind. Praise God. Like I said about the prodigal, when he come home, the father met him halfway. Don't you think he'll ever turn you away? He will run to you when you're ready to come to him. Praise God. The wedding took place. The wine was enjoyed. They had a big time. They toasted. They dropped the glass. The groom smote it with his foot and broke it. There was no remembrance of anything bad with each other from that day on. And they had a party and a celebration. The word says that they have feast. They had a big time. They wasn't in any hurry. Praise God. And when God comes, let the party begin. When that third day's coming, there's going to be new wine. But the word says, and I'll get up real quick now, it says he can't put new wine in old wineskins. And I thought, oh my, this old skins are getting old. I'm going to have to soak it in something. I don't want to be stiff. I don't want to be not receiving. What's that old song? I'm tired of standing on the outside and not receiving. I want to get in on it. I want to be flexible. I want to be able to accept this word. I want to be able to stretch myself and be able to pour it back out. But I've got to be able and willing to make some changes that I'll be ready whenever it comes. I tell you, Joe, this is a whole lot different than the word we've heard. It's a whole lot different. Because we was whipped and lashed with the law from daylight to dark until I don't care what you did or when you did it. You was never good enough. And he doesn't want us to be good enough. Because when you're good in your own sight, how about it, Joe? We seen him come in so proud, nose in the air. If a sinner come in and I saw him, they drug him in the back room. We had a man come in, different times, man come in drinking, they drug him in the back room. They was afraid he'd upset the service. Well, I mean, he might have got happy and we just might have got happy with him. Praise God. But this is a different day. This is not the word we're hearing. It's for the whosoever will may come. Hallelujah. And if we run out of wine, we know who can make it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I had more, but I don't need to say any more. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I love you all this morning. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. I want us to get behind our pastor. Like I said, she ain't here this morning, so I'm talking about her. I want us to be able to believe God with her that whatever she says, we'll be willing to do it. Because I remember when you was born, Lisa. I seen them dear little hands. I know the way you walked. Lisa was very protective of her mother. When I'd come and I'd visit and I'd tell Shirley about Jesus, and if Shirley got to crying, Lisa would get behind her mother and she'd look at me and kind of wrinkle up her nose like, what's she saying? How comes mom's upset? And she probably could have poked me a good one. Because you don't want somebody hurting somebody, but it was good things I was telling her. And I know I've seen Lisa's walk. I've seen her talk, and I know she'll not take us any place or do anything that would be anything but good for us. Praise God. Get on board. Let's get ready for what God's doing. Let's have a party. I tell you, we're going to have a party in here, Ben. There ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, and a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Praise God. I love you all. That's it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah.